July 16th, junior high and track camp, evening chapel.
I'm going to tell you something crazy. And this is kind of like one of those crazy things that I'm going to tell you that you're like, huh? And it's kind of dark, kind of morbid. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to just say it because it's kind of weird. I deserve to die.
What?
And it's not a joke. I deserve to die.
Why?
Because the Bible says.
You deserve to die?
Listen. Eyes on me. So that thunder was pretty good timing. But listen to what Romans 6:23 says. Listen to what Romans 6:23 says. So if you're talking, you can't listen. If somebody's talking to you, point on their tap on their shoulder and tell them to look at me. Romans 6:23 says this: for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I deserve to die. My sin has put me in a place where I deserve to die. And if you have sinned, you're right there with me. Is that a crazy thought? A little bit morbid, right? A little bit out there. And it's not a thought, it's not something that this world wants to tell us. It's not what we say is the popular thing to say. It's not how you get into a group and start to fit in. Hey, yeah, I'm supposed to die.
Ooh,
it'd be kind of weird, right? Grade 7. I'm in grade 7. It's the first week of school. And I am determined at all costs to fit in. To fit in. And so we're hanging out and we're kind of, you know how it goes in grade 7? Where you're like, you got this social circle and you really don't know like who's the cool kid yet and who's not. And you just kind of want to like figure it out quickly and you're like really hoping that you'll be cool and not. And so I cheated. I took the easy and the nasty route. And we're talking and I said to another guy, "You're such a loser." And you know what? That kid was labeled a loser for the entire school year.
Because of you?
Because of me. Because of my sin. Because of my sin. This is not a joke. And if you're talking to your friend right now, stop. Because they need to hear this. Sin is serious. It kills and destroys you and the people you're around. Ever said anything nasty to somebody like I did? It's sin. Ever lied like I have? It's sin. Ever cheated on something at a game or in school like I have? It's sin. The wages of sin is what?
Death.
But the gift of God is?
Eternal life.
This knife, it's not about death anymore. But this knife came from one of my best friend's grandfather. And my wife and he, my this grandfather had passed away recently, and his son, my friend's dad, was cleaning out his stuff, and he gave it to my boys. And it reminds me of a story of my relationship with a boy named Billy. Billy was just a little bit younger. We're in the same grade. We grew up together. We played hockey. We played all kinds of sports together. And we had a lot of fun together, doing our thing. And I would invite, you know, in fact, I invited Billy to this camp, and I remember having conversations with Billy about God. I remember having conversations with Billy, telling him about Jesus and saying how important it is for him to have a relationship with Jesus, because there's heaven and there's hell, and you don't want to be one place. And Billy, I remember Billy and I praying one night when we had a sleepover, and he accepted Jesus. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Gave him a Bible, and he was just so into it. Get to high school, and Billy has slowly changed course. And he's drinking heavily. He's drinking a lot of alcohol. And he'd go to parties and he'd drive home drunk. In fact, that's how Billy died. He was 20 years old. The wages of sin is death. It destroys us. Now, Billy ended early in his life. And it sucks. We think we're young. And we have the world at our fingertips because, well, it's old people who die, not young people. It's not true. It's not true. Sin destroys us from the inside out. It kills us. And sometimes slowly, sometimes instantly. It sucks. It's not the way we want it. It's not the way God intended it. It's not how it should be. You know, one of the interesting things about life is that we have a way of just kind of avoiding the hard conversations, the things that are just like uncomfortable. The things that, you know, I don't really know what to do with this, so we'll just kind of set it to the side. I don't know how to have this hard conversation with my friend who isn't treating others well. I don't know how to have a conversation with my brother or my sister who's just mean to me or to others. Those are hard conversations, aren't they? I don't know how to have the conversation with the friend that, you know, is doing some things to himself or herself that are really, really harmful. Those are realities for us in this life. Hard conversations are happening, need to happen all the time, but we kind of just like, I don't know how to do it, so we'll just kind of set it to the side and pretend we don't need to. The gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. It's something that I can't earn. It's something that I can't put myself in a place to hopefully catch it. I can't figure a way out to make it happen. It's not an equation. I can't do enough things to make it happen. It's a gift. And it's one of those bizarre gifts, because it's a gift that I'm given today, but I don't actually get to open until I get to heaven. Eternal life, something that we all have, whether it's in heaven or elsewhere in hell. But it's a reality. And if I'm going to heaven, I've received Jesus. He's my Savior. He's the guy that's going to take me from this place to heaven one day. And He's assured me of that, because I know what's written in the Bible. And I've asked Him to forgive me. And He promises to forgive me. But I am not yet in heaven, am I?
No.
I'm very much on this earth, right in front of you. And so it's like I haven't yet opened the gift. I haven't yet arrived in heaven. And so I'm doing everything possible today to honor God. To honor God by being worthy of that gift. Even though I know there's no possible way I could be good enough to earn that gift, I want to make God smile by being a little bit better than I once was. In fact, I'm so sinful, I had to apologize today. Where's Aiden? I had to apologize to you today, didn't I, Aiden? I had to apologize. I needed His forgiveness. It's between Aiden and I, but I accused him of something he didn't do. And I was really, really upset about that. And he was upset about it too, for obvious reasons. I need forgiveness. I'm a messed up human being. Without God, I ain't getting to heaven. There's no way. There's just no way. But if I don't have to die and go to hell, then there's somebody who had to take my place. That was Jesus. That was Jesus who took my place. Listen to this. Pilate, he was the ruler in Judea and Jerusalem at that time, of Jerusalem. And he was the Roman head guy, and Rome was in charge of Jerusalem and Judea and all that area. They had conquered it. And listen to what Pilate says about Jesus. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. You know what flogged means? It means a whip with a bunch of stones and bones on the end of these whips, and they would whip him over and over and over again until he couldn't even stand. And as they pulled this whip back, like, it would just tear into his skin and his flesh, and it would hurt. So Pilate had him flogged, like beaten up as bad as you can get beaten up. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns, like these thorns are big, and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face. This was the beginning of Jesus' death. Jesus' death. And a little later on in chapter 19 of John, it says this: the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went to the place of the skull where they crucified him, along with two others, one on each side. And crucifixion is the cross, right? Where they nail his hands and his feet. And he's up there dying. So the reality is, and I paint this picture not because it's a pretty picture, but because it's the truth. This is what happened. And a lot of what's written in the Bible is not, like if it was in a movie, it would be R-rated. Like this is ugly, ugly stuff. And so Jesus died. And he was the sacrifice and took all of my sin and all of your sin, if you ask him, upon himself and suffered our punishment for us. There's this old story that a preacher would tell, and maybe you've heard it. A drunk driver comes into the courtroom, and the judge looks at him and says, "I am sentencing you to 6 months in prison and a huge fine." And the judge, knowing that the drunk driver was his brother, didn't let him off. He says, "You have a price to pay for the thing that you did, which was so wrong." Was that just?
Yeah.
But after the judge says, takes his robe off, says, "Okay," he writes a check for the fine and pays it. And then he goes and he says, "All right, I'm going to go to jail for you, brother. I will take your punishment." And that is grace. Undeserved favor. Did the drunk driver deserve it? Did the brother deserve it?
No.
No. That's grace. That's what I've been given. That's what Aiden gave me today. Undeserved grace. Undeserved favor. That's what you need. That's what your family needs. That's what this world needs. Undeserved favor. Could you imagine? Have you ever had your parents give you a punishment of cleaning and then helped you clean a little bit?
Yeah?
Some of you? That's a punishment and grace wrapped up in one. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I'm thirsty." You know, a jar of wine, vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and reached up with a long pole and put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And he died. And the story doesn't end there. Okay? The story doesn't end there. And some of you know how the story continues from there. And some of you are like, "You can't stop here. If there's more, tell us." I'll give you a hint. Jesus makes the ultimate comeback. And it's hard to believe. But because he did, I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am forgiven. And even though I deserve death today, I get life today. I get life. And not just like mediocre life, but life free from guilt, free from shame, free from all the things that I need to be concerned about. I don't need to be concerned about those things because I am forgiven. I am healed by Christ and what He has done for me. I do not need to walk in that old life. It is done. It is finished. He's done it for me. It's an incredible thought. And it just kind of blows my mind that God would love me that much. That much. That He would die in my place. Well, one of the things that I have to struggle with at times now, not struggle with, is the question, well, Jesus, if You died in my place and I get to live, well, Lord God, how do You want me to live? Like, this life is not my own. It was purchased with somebody else's life. So, Lord, how do You want me to live today? This morning, yesterday, I invited you to receive Christ, to become a Christian. And some of you maybe took that opportunity, and some of you are like, man, I wish I did. You still can. You just got to pray with your cabin leader. You can do that. Like that. Super easy. But today, this morning, we were talking about training. Have you ever trained and worked really hard at something for no reason at all? Does it last? So if I were to be like, you know, I'm going to go for like a 40 kilometer run today because like I got nothing better to do, I'd probably get into like kilometer 5 and be like, what was I thinking? This was a terrible idea. I have no desire to finish this run. So, and 5 kilometers is pretty good, so I'll just be done. And it would be pretty reasonable for me to say that, right? But if I had a reason to run 40 kilometers, like, say, a really, really angry rhinoceros was chasing me, I would probably run 40 kilometers if I had a good enough reason. My reason for living for Jesus, you want to know it? Like, it's super simple. Maybe you can even guess the reason why I live for Jesus today. Every day. Over and over and over again. Every day. And the day after and the day after. Anybody want to guess? Why do you think I live for Jesus?
Because you want to?
Because I want to? It's a good reason, but looking for something a little more specific.
Because He gave you this life.
He gave me His life to live. I no longer live for me. He loves me so much. And the more I understand how much He loves me, guess what? The more I realize I don't understand how much He loves me. I think I begin to understand, oh, it's this much. And then I realize, oh, it can't possibly be that much because it's bigger. No, it's bigger. Did you know that God is eternal? Like he lives forever. And that's an easy concept for us to understand. Did you know God is infinite? But not just infinite in age. But God is infinite in his character, in his love for you. There is no depth to his love for you. We can't even say his love's deep, because it's beyond deep. It's beyond wide. It's beyond high. It's beyond long. God's love for you is infinite. And for some of you, that's like too big to really grasp. And for some of you, it's like, but then it's like, but I don't get it. I don't get it. How could God love me infinite? I'm not quite sure, but he does. And the more I look into it and the more I understand it, the more I realize I don't get it. It's bigger. God loves you bigger. Billy became a Christian. He accepted Jesus' forgiveness. And I'm really, really grateful. Because that means one day I'm going to see him in heaven. And I miss him a lot. It's been almost 20 years since I've seen him now. But you know what else? Billy never understood the why. Billy never understood the why enough. He got that he needed Jesus, but he never understood how much God really, absolutely, infinitely was madly in love with him. Because if he did, guess what? His life would have taken a different path. And for some of you right now, when I say God loves you, you're sitting and thinking to yourselves, how could he possibly love me? How could he possibly love me? And here's where go comes in, guys. I dare you to go. I dare you to step into that and say, okay, God, if you love me, I'm here. I'm going to live in that. I dare you to go and walk in his love for you. Dance in his love for you. Play in his love for you. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And one of those things that as you begin to dance, you begin to walk, you begin to play in his love for you, you know what's going to happen? It's going to become a little bit overwhelming. I dare you to go and step into his love and find out that that pool of love has no bottom, it just goes on and on and on and on. It's huge. Father, we pray right now that you would help us to understand just a little bit, just a fraction of a bit more of how much you love us. God, we understand that you died for us, that you took our place. And that's That's a bit weird, because that doesn't happen in this world. But it just shows you God, shows us, God, how much you love us. Give us the courage to step into that love, to enjoy your presence, your love for us. God, if we need convicting, convict us. If we need encouragement, encourage us. God, if we need boldness, give us courage. God, we want to live for you. In your name I pray. Amen.